The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Can you hear me okay out there? Wonderful. So welcome. So this evening, I thought I would talk about something which is probably endemic in human life, and that is conflict. Often there's conflict. And one of the roles I'd like to think of mindfulness practice is to help us be wise in conflict. Not to avoid conflict and not to necessarily participate as an active fighter in conflict, but to be able to turn towards it and understand the dynamics of what's going on in conflict, especially with us as a participant in a conflict or as part of it, and to learn how to be wise about that. And in the wisdom, negotiate conflict in a probably more useful way than it is to be just fighting or at loggerheads with people. And so one of the most useful things that I've learned in the course of doing this mindfulness practice, meditation, is how to be comfortable with discomfort. And for many people, not everyone, but many people find conflict is uncomfortable. And it's sometimes it's even so much so that that the source of conflict is not a disagreement between people, but the source of the conflict is the aversion to our own discomfort in it. And so sometimes it's the reaction we have to our own discomfort, because conflict sometimes is uncomfortable, but our aversion or reaction to our own discomfort, which is a source of some of the more unhealthy behavior around conflict. So, discomfort. So I'd like to hear from some of you. In what way do you think, or in what circumstances do you think it is useful to allow yourself to experience discomfort when you're in a conflict? Why do you think it might be useful to be willing to experience discomfort in a conflict? Yes?
Sometimes we cannot avoid the situation.
So sometimes you cannot avoid the situation. So if with a family member, you have to go through it. And so why is it wise to feel uncomfortable then?
Since you cannot eliminate the discomfort.
So you cannot eliminate the discomfort. So sometimes discomfort is inevitable. And so it's good to then just be with it, because what's the alternative to being to it?
Run away from it.
Run away from it. Good, good. Thank you. What are some other reasons to... Yes, over here. Brian.
Sometimes if the conflict in the short term, it's uncomfortable, but if you don't stand up for yourself, it makes things more uncomfortable in the long term.
Oh, so a little bit of discomfort today is better than a lot of discomfort in the future. Okay. Good. It's good. Yes, here.
I find it's good to hang with it so I can really understand what the other person is trying to say, and sometimes it takes a while for that dialogue to come out.
Oh, and that requires you to stay present with the discomfort. And very good. So you get to learn what the other person's going on, what's going on for the other person if you hang in there. It takes a while. Yes?
Related to that, I guess, is that if you are concentrating on the discomfort, then you lose contact with what's going on.
Ah, nice. Very good. Do you have something?
Yeah.
Oh, same thing. Okay. Yes?
I actually had this here for everyone else, but if I speak when I am uncomfortable, whether it's anger or whatever negative emotional state it is, the stronger it is, the worse I will make the situation.
So say it again. If you speak.
So if I'm feeling angry, if I'm feeling afraid, if I'm feeling, whatever strong negative emotional state it is, then I tend to speak from that emotional state rather than really being thoughtful and understanding and wanting to find a solution, a common ground, and I will usually make the conflict worse.
And so all those things are uncomfortable. So if you speak from that discomfort, then you make it worse. But if you stay with the discomfort instead of... If you allow for the discomfort and stay with it?
Well, the issue I have with doing that, that is what I try to do. The issue that I have with doing that is that then I'm turning internally. Uh-huh. And I'm actually not present with the conversation that's going on around me. And so I can lose track.
Yeah, that's what they said here up in front.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if you don't pay attention to the discomfort...
Then I'll make it worse.
Catch 22, or you're stuck. Okay, good, thank you. So, Morgan.
I have a recent example that I'm not... haven't gotten good enough to notice when I'm in the midst of it, so I go with the whatever anger that I'm experiencing. And later, it's very uncomfortable because it's not what I want to demonstrate, so then I stay with that uncomfortable feeling and embarrassing feeling that I acted out my anger long enough for me to understand what was driving it. So in my example, it was an ego-driven kind of behavior.
So the after effects of some unskillful acts could be discomfort, embarrassment.
Very uncomfortable.
So rather than running away from that, turning on the TV or doing something else, you find it useful to stay and hang out with that discomfort so you can learn from it and know how to do better in the future. So that's another example where it's useful to stay with discomfort. Yes?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, so for me, what happens is that I get a chance to see what I'm afraid of. Usually those situations for me are related to something that I'm fearful, that creates fear. And so I think, oh, great. Now I can become, more familiar with the fear and know that my ego's running rampant or whatever, and it kind of mellows out.
So you've learned that if you're uncomfortable, that's a good time to stop and pay attention and let the discomfort be there, because it's underneath that is fear.
It's always fear.
Always fear. Mm-hmm. And you want to learn about that and understand what's going on, and deeper than that might be some ego stuff.
It's generally, all to me, fear is ego, so that's what my belief is, so I just...
But you could just distract yourself.
I could, but I do. Sometimes I do, and then later I realize that I did that, but...
And it's not useful.
Pardon?
And you find that's not useful, to distract yourself.
Oh, no.
Great. I very much appreciate what you said. Over here, to your right.
Yeah, so I think the wisdom that I have, the hope that I would achieve if I stay with the discomfort is realizing the discomfort is coming from attachment to a certain outcome that I want. And when that's not happening, is if I could get to a stage and realize that maybe this is not the outcome I should be attached to, or let that go. I think that would be... I'm just seeing it intellectually. I don't know if that's what I would do.
So there's a discomfort that arises out of wanting something that's not happening. And then if you...
It's an opportunity to stop and decide this is something that maybe I should not be attached to.
So the discomfort is a signal to investigate and look more deeply.
Yeah.
Great. That's nice. Yes.
Sometimes the more I get experience with sticking around with that anger discomfort, I realize that it's not really as bad as I thought it was.
I see, nice. So if you hang out with it, you get a different perspective on it, and it's easier to be with.
Yeah.
Great. These are great reasons. Let's all get uncomfortable. And so one of the ways people get away from discomfort is to meditate. And sometimes meditation is an escape from life rather than enter into life more deeply. And so you have to be a little bit careful about meditation and mindfulness. You know, there's such a big press about what mindfulness is these days, about it. It's stress reducing, right? And so people go for it. And but I think you can do it yourself a disservice if you excessively emphasize de-stressing and calming down. I mean, generally for many people who are overstressed, that's a good thing to learn. But in ordinary life, discomfort and, arises regularly for all kinds of reasons. And if the strategy is to always kind of de-stress and cool out and chill out, you never get to learn, develop, see more deeply what's really going on, and kind of mine the discomfort for the wisdom and understanding that should be there. So a very important part of Buddhist practice is a willingness to be uncomfortable, which is, you know, we don't advertise that up front. So you can now sue us for false advertisement. But in the long term, we're much better because of it. So what are some of the ways you've learned that, what are some of the ways you've learned that support you to be with discomfort? Yes.
I mean, being having discomfort is not always as a result of conflict.
Yes.
My method is to go through the experience.
So say a little bit how you do that.
An example, jumping out of a plane, because it's a scary, fearful experience, and I want to go through that fear and just go through it and...
So don't avoid an experience which is frightening and just uncomfortable, but enter into it. So that's one thing you've learned as a way of...
Or a conversation that I must have, yeah. And then I know it's not going to be pleasant, but I know this is the only way through it. It's just, if I wait, it's just going to get more difficult.
Okay, great. Nice. Please.
Speaking up, I feel uncomfortable. Uh-huh. But how I do it is just through breathing. Mm. Just to continually breathe in and breathe out and bring consciously my effort into breathing and
Wonderful.
Just being aware of that.
And the discomfort doesn't necessarily go away, but by breathing that way consciously, then you're not frozen by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can maybe learn from it or do what you need to do. Great, so breathing. I like that.
Crying.
Yeah. Mm. So say a little bit how that works for you, how that supports you in being with discomfort.
It can allow me to get all my negative feelings and just let all my emotions come out and my whole body, I can feel it and just let it go.
Mm. So you kind of open to the discomfort fully, and with that comes tears, it comes a release. And tears often can be a release, so that release, then you kind of, it can empty out in a good way. Is that something like that?
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you. So up here in the front to Sylvie.
Thank you. So when I'm feeling discomfort, I usually try to, I try to think where I have pain in my body, and usually for me, if I'm uncomfortable, I have a really bad pain in my head, and so I focus on which side, what flavor of pain is it, you know, piercing or stabbing or...
You have 31 flavors?
Yeah. No, there are a lot. You know, that kind of takes the steam out for me. And just realizing that I have to be kind to myself then, because I'm in pain.
Nice. So really feeling discomfort as pain, and really entering into it and really kind of getting the texture, the flavor of it, and then being kind to that. Nice. Yes, Brian.
One of the ways... this work?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the ways I've noticed that I try to avoid discomfort is by suppressing emotions. And so one of the intentions I try to set during meditation recently has been to provide a space for those emotions to just fully form and to watch them.
Mm. Nice. So one way to be with discomfort is to let the fullness of your emotions just to be there. Nice. Great. One more here in the front.
I find myself staying with the discomfort long after the conflict has passed.
Uh-huh.
So that's a little bit strange. You know, the conflict will happen 3 days ago,
oh.
And 3 days later I'm still worrying about what was said and why it was said and what else I could have done in that conflict.
I see.
So maybe staying with the discomfort is not always good.
It can be overdone, maybe.
Yeah.
But what you can learn if you stay with it is you can try to begin understanding why you're staying with it. And so you might discover some of the inner dynamics of the resentment or the regrets or something that's keeping it going. And without understanding that, getting wise about that, it'll persist more often. Okay. So this was... thank you, Ash, for then moving into the discussion of conflict. So could some of you describe, in brief terms, we don't want a big story about the conflicts you've had, but rather than the story about the conflict, something relatively short about how have you benefited, how have you, as a person, as an individual, how have you grown personally, matured, through conflict? How has conflict been useful for you in your personal growth? Yes?
I realize that I can endure it, and that kind of gives you the confidence that you can go back and meet other conflicts in your life, and then it just keeps building on top of each other, and eventually things that you think are conflicts can sometimes be interesting projects that you might want to engage in, actually.
Nice. So by hanging in there with conflict, working through conflict, you've gotten confidence, certain kind of confidence and willingness then to face the bigger ones and bigger ones until eventually they didn't feel like conflicts, but just nice projects.
I suppose you can put it that way. I'm not suggesting that you should go seek conflicts, you know. I guess you get to a point where you stop interpreting certain things as conflicts.
Oh, nice.
I guess that's what I can say. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Someone else? Danik.
Going through any conflict also helps me personally develop some more empathy for others who are going through a conflict like that. And I think I have seen this only in very recent times that I can relate to other people who are going through something, not in the way that I can go and suggest and advise them, but at least relate partially more with them.
Wonderful. That's great. So since conflict is kind of, endemic, epidemic in human cult societies, that then our friends, our people we know have, if we experience our own conflict well, and then it's easier to empathize with others. And that's a nice thing. It's a nice gift. Pass it to the back.
I think that it can convey respect. I think if your tendency is to avoid, that can be hurtful for the other person.
Mm-hmm. So have you personally benefited from people staying with you and you feeling the respect?
I think you can grow in a relationship.
Uh-huh. So you can grow in the relationship if you stay with a conflict?
Mm-hmm.
And you've experienced that?
Getting there.
Hoping. We wish you well. Can you pass it over here? Is there another mic on this side? It's here, in the front. Yeah, straight back to Judy.
Well, one thing, way in which I've benefited from conflict is when things got really hard, I was able to accept the guidance of a trusted person. Before that, I was Lone Ranger. I can handle it myself. And at times I was pretty miserable.
So sometimes really bad conflict helps us to drop some of the defense, some of the ego structures that we have that are not useful. But,
yes.
But for some of us who are stubborn, it takes a long time to...
What? What?
One way I have benefited from conflict is that it has helped me develop empathy for other people in similar situations.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Great, thank you. So up here for Analoy.
One way that I have benefited from conflict is that it has provided me with a huge opportunity to practice non-reactivity to someone else pushing my buttons. And it has improved that relationship and healed the relationship enormously.
Mm.
So a lot of practice.
So two things can grow with that. One is that you can learn this capacity to be non-reactive, to have this equanimity is a great thing to develop. And then this is interesting that it can even heal relationships because we're not fueling the conflict or the whatever. Very nice. Yes?
Looking back, developing a sense of integrity and learning more about attachment and how painful that can be. So the going through conflict has helped me be mindful about detaching and developing a sense of integrity.
Nice. Great. Behind you.
Thank you. I think for me, conflict, one of the ways I've benefited from conflict is understanding that I have to let go of wanting to control how the other people are going to approach the conflict. And just focus on how I'm going to approach it, sort of like the non-reactivity piece. And then also in a protracted kind of long-term kind of moral conflict that I've had to deal with, self-care is really important.
Great. So you've learned about self-care in the process. Great. Great, thank you. So what are some of the ways that you can enter into conflict or be in conflict so that you can grow from it? What are some of the ways you've learned about staying present in conflict so that can be a useful arena for personal growth, relational growth with others? What have you learned so far? How it can be done?
One approach I've taken is when I get the discomfort from conflict, I think that the discomfort is not coming from the other person, but it's me generating an opinion about myself that the other person is reminding me that I have.
Great.
One of the things that I think I've benefited from is when you're in a conflict, you often find that there's a different point of view, and you can expand your own horizon by trying to understand where that person is coming from. And you often learn more about the problem than you knew to begin with.
That requires that what you're staying in. So that requires, in terms of how to stay in conflict, it requires being willing to listen to the person you're in conflict with, right? And give them a little bit of benefit of a doubt? A lot? Great. Other way, useful ways of being in conflict. up here in the front.
Well, at the retreat, Ruth King said this thing that was really helpful for me that I used immediately and have used several times in conflicts that I've been in the short time since I was there. But she said to look inside and give compassion to yourself for that tension that you're feeling or the pain that you're feeling that the conflict might be causing you. Mm. And to just be very kind and gentle and recognize that pain that is causing you to be in the conflict. And that's helped me a lot to get through.
Get through and stay mm-hmm. in the conflict, but get through in a useful way.
Yes.
Self-compassion. Mm-hmm. Great. So.
Hi. I'm new. My name is Rena.
Hi, Rena.
So, hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. So, one of the ways that I stay in conflict and I get through it is that I try to ask myself, what is it that I think I have at stake? And it usually comes down to some ego-related thing. And then once I recognize it, I can sometimes let it go more easily. So I think that's a variation.
Yeah, great question. What do you have at stake? So you pass it in that direction down the outer hall.
One thing that I do is I kind of see my anger as the safe mask in terms of interpersonal conflict. Yeah. And I always know that it's like the gross, ugly cry is going to come if I really want to engage in this, you know, conflict. And I think when I do that and I'm able to be vulnerable in that way with someone else, you know, the gloves come off and it's just like, mm-hmm. okay, let's just be human together and... You know, I mean, and not like I have to cry every time for that to happen, but I feel like when I'm able to just not be in a who's right, who's wrong mode and just in a like, I'm human, I'm hurt, you're human, you're hurt, let's just be human and talk about it kind of thing.
So get underneath the anger, underneath the defensiveness and the blame, and to really feel your vulnerability and what's happening for you in a deeper way. And that changes the nature of the conflict dramatically. Mm. Great. So just keep passing it. Elaine.
So one thing I've learned is to call up confidence, to have faith in myself because of past experiences. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I've learned that's very helpful is to focus on the suffering the other person's having. And to really see deeply their suffering. And what that allows me to do is to be present for them so that they really feel heard and understood. And that's been a very useful tool for moving past hurts that are years and many, many years old. Mm-hmm. And what's been really beneficial, or what's been helpful for me to be able to do that, is to call up confidence, to give me the patience to stick with it.
Thank you. Great. This is wonderful to hear this. And I'd like to do, we have a few minutes left, I'd like to do something a little different now to bring it to a close, what we're doing. So first, I'd like you to do a little kind of meditative reflection. So you close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and see, kind of use the kind of your eyes closed, kind of contemplative mode to see what comes up for you. Maybe take a couple of deep breaths, relax, settle in, be with yourself. So remember, if you can, what it's like for you when you're really stressed out, really harried, challenged. Maybe you haven't had enough to eat, you haven't had enough to sleep, everything's going wrong with your computer and all kinds of things, you know, really stressed. And in that kind of situation, you have no wisdom available whatsoever. No patience, no wisdom. And and then you suddenly enter into some conflict with someone. In that circumstance, what's your kind of instinctual reaction to conflict? For you, what's the default instinctual reaction to conflict when there's no wisdom? And it's possible that there's kind of, in that kind of circumstance, there's a default strategy you fall back into. It can be different for different people. What's yours? Okay, so then let go of that and take a deep breath. Exhale and let go. And now, think of a time when you are really at ease, happy, peaceful, as you've experienced in your life. You've had really plenty of sleep. You've eaten not too much, not too little. Things are working pretty well. There's hardly no demands on you. It's maybe a day off. You've gone for a nice walk, and sunny day, nice day, sit down to rest. You just have time, and things are easy, and you feel kind of contented. And now, because you have space and time, you have all your wisdom you've ever had in your life is accessible. It's just close at hand. And when you have wisdom and a conflict suddenly shows up, what's the kind of first thing you think about then, about how to respond? Relaxed, contented space. What might be some of the first responses you have to conflict? When there's wisdom. Okay, you can take a deep breath. And then you can then open your eyes. It was a pretty short time to reflect, so I don't know if it's something that came up for all of you. But if you know what your default is, what your instinctual reaction to conflict is, you're a wiser person. Some people, their instinctual approach is to attack, to blame. Other people are at fault, no matter what the situation is. Other people, the first instinct is to defend, pull back. Some people, they take the ostrich strategy, and you stick their head in the sand, you know, kind of just ignore, deny, hide. Some people freeze. That's what, you know, the first thing they do. Some people get angry. Some people get angry at themselves. Some people, it's fear, all kinds of things. And that, so you know, you have to have something, your response, because, you know, you're human, right? So, and you can't always be wise. I mean, sometimes you're stressed out, life is difficult, so. But if you can find the common or the strategies you have, common default instinctual, and understand them well, then when they start appearing, maybe you won't succumb to them as quickly. Maybe you'll see them. Oh, there's my old companion. Okay, you can go just stay there on the side, things, you know, and you can then maybe call on your wisdom. But if you don't know that you have an instinctual pattern, it's very easy for it to sneak up on you, or not just sneak up, just kind of pounce on you, and you're pulled into that world so strongly. So I recommend that you get to understand yourself in different ways. And then also begin reflecting and talking to friends about what are some of the wise ways of being in conflict. What can you do? How can you have a conversation? How can you listen? How can you learn to stay present in an open way? And one of the functions of meditation is to learn how to do that. And so, from time to time, meditation itself is uncomfortable for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's physically uncomfortable. Your knees hurt or your back hurts or, you know, you ate too much for dinner and, you know, your stomach is full and you're so uncomfortable. And one approach when there is discomfort in meditation is I'm going to meditate later. You know, because, you know, this is a drag. Meditation is about getting calm and blissed out, and this is not working. Another approach is see that meditation as the laboratory in which to really study what it's like to be uncomfortable and how you react to it and what are some wise ways of being in it, with it. So you can learn to be fully present and at the same time equanimous. And the reason to do it in meditation is the same reason you'd go to the gym and be uncomfortable there, maybe sometimes, right? You work out and you develop something and you develop a muscle and a capacity that supports you elsewhere. So you might, the capacity to learn to be present and equanimous for discomfort in meditation then serves you to, because you develop that capacity to do that better in your life in general. And every time you're uncomfortable, you run away from it, you don't learn that capacity. You only learn how to run away. So being uncomfortable in meditation is an opportunity, not a distraction from meditation. But only if you see it as the opportunity. Don't just kind of tough it out because you think Gil wants you to tough it out. You know, it's only if you see that this is, you want to learn about yourself, then it's useful. If you feel like this is a drag, it's discouraging, then, you know, maybe then get up and do something else. So that's what that's... And then I want to read you a story on conflict, or kind of about it. Not quite a story. We'll call it a story because it's in this book of stories. Giving a talk to the monks and nuns, the abbess said, "Conflict will always be a part of life in the monastery. Please take your conflicts to be your teachers. Conflicts should not be about winners and losers, or between who is right and who is wrong. They should be about discovering your capacity to be strong and to let go, to listen and to speak, to care and to not care, to understand ourselves and others. Please don't fear conflict. Every conflict contains a path to peace. Conflict is the way the heart is trying to find itself. Conflict is the way the heart is trying to find itself." So my hope for you is someday you'll be able to say the same thing as a friend of mine says, who specializes in conflict mediation. That's her professional job. She says that conflict makes her happy. Because through her work in her professional life, she's seen the tremendous goodness, the tremendous benefit that come when people engage and enter into conflict in wise ways, in skillful ways, and learn how to work with conflict and see it to the other side. And it's one of the great things to do in life. And if you take on this task, I will bet that you'll get better and better at it, better at your conflicts, so that your conflicts will be shorter and shorter, and that at some point you'll think that you have no more conflicts, because conflicts means that you're in opposition with people. The word conflict in Latin means kind of to strike with. But you have disagreements. You have annoyances. You have discomforts. You have opportunities to learn. You have differences. And then you can kind of, you know, it's not a problem to have these things. These are all part of human life, and we can learn how to be wise and generous and compassionate and caring in all the relationships we are in. Because the world needs us to care for all our relationships and all our relations. So, if it should happen, maybe, someday, that you're in conflict, I hope that this evening has inspired you to take a different perspective on your conflict and see about how to be present and in a wise way and find how to grow through it and heal through it. May your conflicts serve your growth. Thank you.